let the record show this is the time and place scheduled for certain proceedings in a Jarrell County matter, State of South Dakota versus Lance Lee Witte. It's being a misdemeanor, and through agreement of counsel and the court, we're doing this via ITV. I'm in Brookings, and I believe the other parties are in Mitchell. Do you want to note your appearances for the record, please?
Casey Bridgman on behalf of the State of South Dakota, Jarrell County.
Your Honor, Doug Daly, as attorney for the defendant, Lance Witte, who's also with me here today.
Okay. And I understand I'm anticipating a plea, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Witte, I did receive by fax from or by mail from Mr. Daly a power of attorney, and whereby the defendant acknowledged his rights and acknowledged understanding his rights. But I'm going to go over your rights again with you briefly. You have a right to remain silent. No one can compel you to answer any questions concerning the charge. You have a right to defend yourself in person or through an attorney at every stage of these proceedings, and you're appearing here today with Doug Daly, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you've had an opportunity to consult with him?
Yes, Your Honor.
The state's required to prove every element of the allegations against you beyond a reasonable doubt. Specifically, what the state would have to prove is that on or about December 10th of last year in Jarrell County, you drove a vehicle on a public highway when your privilege to drive was revoked. It's a Class 1 misdemeanor carrying a maximum penalty of 1 year in the county jail, a $2,000 fine, or both such fine and imprisonment. You're presumed to be innocent at every stage of these proceedings. You're entitled to a speedy public trial with a jury of 12 citizens from Jarrell County, and as a practical matter, a trial date has previously been set in July. At that trial, you're entitled to cross-examine any witnesses against you. You have a right to call witnesses to testify on your behalf, and your attorney can issue subpoenas requiring witnesses to come in and testify under oath on your behalf. You have your right to remain silent. It's true at the trial. The state can't call you as a witness. You can't be forced to testify, and comment can't be made on the fact that you didn't testify. If you had a trial, all 12 jurors have to agree upon the verdict, and if the verdict is guilty, you'd have 30 days to appeal that verdict to the South Dakota Supreme Court. If you wish to have a trial on this charge, you should continue with your plea of not guilty, but if the facts and the information are true and you do not wish to have a trial, you may plead guilty. If you plead guilty and stand convicted of the offense charged, it would become part of your permanent record, and the only thing left for me to do would be to determine the sentence. Also, if you enter a plea of guilty, you'd be waiving your constitutional and statutory rights, but specifically you'd waive your right to remain silent, your right to a jury trial, and your right of confrontation of witnesses. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you entering a plea today of your own free will?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are there any plea agreements in this matter?
Yes, Your Honor. The agreement is as follows. Based upon Mr. Witte's guilty plea to the offense contained in the information of driving under a revoked license, the state has agreed that it will not file any additional charges. Additionally, the state has agreed that they would make a joint recommendation to the court that Mr. Witte receive a suspended imposition of sentence due to the circumstances of the case.
Okay, and is that your understanding, Mr. Bridgman?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that your understanding, Mr. Witte?
Yes, Your Honor.
Other than that agreement, have any threats or promises been made to get you to enter a plea?
No, Your Honor.
You understand I've not agreed with anyone as to what sentence I would impose?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, you satisfied that your client understands the nature of the charge against him and his rights in these proceedings?
I am, Judge.
I find this defendant is regularly held to answer the charge contained in the information, that he's represented by competent counsel, that he's been advised of his constitutional and statutory rights and understands those rights. I further find that he understands the nature of the charge against him, the maximum sentence which can be imposed, that he's entered a plea of his own free will without duress and is competent to enter a plea to this court. Do you desire to have the information read, or are you willing to waive the reading of the information?
We would waive, Your Honor.
Then to the information, Mr. Whitty, that I previously explained to you, what is your plea, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Guilty, please receive the state of factual basis.
I do, Your Honor, and I'll go into it in a little more detail than I might in some situations because of the facts of the case. On December 10, 2010, Trooper Michael Peterson was traveling in Girald County on 221st Street over by Alpena. He saw a car traveling. He thought it was in excess of the speed limit. The radar indicated it was 61 miles an hour in a 51 mile per hour zone. So Trooper Peterson stopped the vehicle. The driver of the vehicle was found to be the defendant, Lance Whitty. Mr. Whitty told the trooper that his license was suspended, but he had a work permit, but he was unable to produce a work permit. Mr. Peterson spent quite a bit of time checking with the state's attorney, with the clerk's office, and found that no work permit had ever been issued in this case. In later investigation of this case, it looks like it was because of the hours of employment or something had not gotten to the clerk, so no work permit was ever issued. And so Mr. Whitty was arrested for driving with a revoked license.
Mr. Daly, is that your understanding of the facts?
Yes, Judge.
And Mr. Whitty, are those facts correct?
The only facts I beg to differ is the I was in a 55 mile an hour zone, not a 51, and that's the only thing I heard that was not right.
I understand that a work permit had been authorized, though.
Correct, Judge.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I'll find this factual basis for the plea. The plea will be received. Ready to proceed to sentencing at this time?
Yes, Judge.
Any comments by the state?
Your Honor, I've faxed the prior history of Mr. Whitty in this case to you. I don't know if you received that or not.
I received that.
And in regard to our plea agreement, I do believe this is a case that is appropriate for a suspended imposition of sentence because of the fact that there was a work permit that thought that it was issued, but it was not issued. So I would agree. I believe the defendant is going to ask for a suspended imposition of sentence and will concur or go along with that recommendation.
Okay, Mr. Daly.
Oh, thank you, Judge. That is correct, Your Honor. We're asking your consideration to exercise your clemency powers and suspend imposition of sentence due to the facts of this case. Mr. Whitty has not previously been convicted of a felony, nor has he ever had a suspended imposition of sentence before, and as such, I do believe that he qualifies for your consideration on that request. Essentially, what happened here, Your Honor, is Mr. Whitty had his driver's license revoked as a result of a DUI conviction in Beadle County. At that time, he was represented by attorney Doug Clute, who sent Mr. Whitty information as to what he needed to do to obtain the restricted driver's permit, which was authorized by the court. Mr. Whitty then did fax all of the information that was contained in the request or the advisement by Mr. Clute to the clerk. Unfortunately, he didn't provide them with hours of his employment, so when the clerk received the information, they did not issue the restricted permit because they didn't have all the information. However, then there was no relay of the necessity of that. And as such, Mr. Whitty drove with the assumption that he was permitted to drive. At the time he was driving during the day, and he was driving for work purposes, Your Honor. As the court is aware, if he is convicted of this offense, that would trigger an administrative revocation of his license for a period of 1 year. Based upon my research and discussions with the Department of Commerce, if the court were to give him a suspended imposition of sentence, that would not trigger the revocation. Given the facts, we feel that that would be overly punitive, so we do also agree that this would be an appropriate resolution of the case. In addition to that, Your Honor, we would be asking for the court to just fine him with a period of good behavior. Mr. Woody's got a very good job, as the court is very well aware. He's the superintendent of schools of Westington Springs School District. He's been run through the ringer by the media on this deal, Your Honor. They're also sitting in the courtroom here today. I think that he's definitely learned his lesson. He certainly didn't have any intent to break the law on the time that he was picked up, and so we'd ask for your consideration for the suspended imposition of sentence, Your Honor. Obviously, we'd need a short period of time to pay the fines and costs just to get them to the clerk.
Mr. Whitty, any comments?
I think my attorney covered things pretty well, Your Honor. I guess I had no intentions of breaking the law. Based upon what my previous attorney had instructed me to do, I had done so to the T, and it was just a miscommunication on the part of some people.
Okay, well, based on all the facts and circumstances, I'm inclined to give a suspended imposition of sentence. Before I can give a suspended imposition of sentence, Mr. Whitty, I have to get your agreement on the record to a suspended imposition of sentence. I think the reason for that is probably twofold. Number one, that as your attorney indicated, you can only have a suspended imposition once in your lifetime, so you'd be utilizing it at this particular time. The other thing is that obviously if you messed up on any terms and conditions of the suspended imposition of sentence, you'd still be subject to the maximum sentence instead of just some suspended jail time. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
And knowing those facts, are you agreeable to a suspended imposition sentence?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, it will be the sentence of this court that the imposition of sentence be suspended on the following conditions: that the defendant pay a total fine and cost of $500 prior to 5 o'clock p.m. this Friday, and that he be a law-abiding citizen for a period of 60 days.
Very good, Your Honor. Appreciate your consideration.
Mr. Daly, what you will have to do, and you can consult with your client on this, but normally when there's a suspended imposition of sentence, or there's court services involved, and so they take care of the final dismissal after the 60 days is completed. Since they're not involved, that'll be up to you or some other counsel on behalf of Mr. Whitty.
I'll take care of it, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. Anything further?
Judge, I'll prepare the sentence and email that to you. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Okay. We'll be in recess.
Thank you, Judge.
Yep.